Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, and it's a blessing to be here tonight. And it's a blessing hearing people singing to Jesus. I don't know about you, but I can't get over the fact how people will preach and speak and sing to Jesus. And it's just a reality that we all are a part of, and Jesus is real in our lives, and I praise God for that. And it's a blessing to be here tonight. It's always, I never take lightly the opportunity of being here and to be able to share with the church the Word of God. But before we go any further, I would like to pray for the Sabinski family a minute. So please, let's just bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings, your mercies, and we just ask for this family, especially with Sister Juliana, that you be with her in this time of sickness, of trial, and that you will just provide for the needs and give health and just guide whoever has to take care of her in a medical sense. And we just pray that she will be able to be soon with good health serving you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So let's go ahead and open our Bibles in the book of 1 Corinthians. And I'm going to be reading from verse 16 of the second chapter. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. And as always, we appreciate your prayers. We ask for your prayers. And we always pray for you. I am very, very glad and happy that God led us to this church. Amen. Amen for that. I always tell people that I am picky with churches. I just don't go and get into any church. If I have to go someplace and look for a church, I will visit and stay there months if it is necessary and make a decision at some point. You just can't go in just like that to anywhere. You have to find yourself a good church. And that's what we have here. I am convinced of that. So amen to that. All right. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16, the Bible says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." We have the mind of Christ. And my topic tonight is the mind. And I want to talk about, in particular, having a sound biblical mind. Each Christian needs to have mental health in their lives. And it's just not only mental health, but it's biblical mental health. We live in a world that the main attack is to the minds. And Satan and his demons are experts in driving people crazy. That is the truth. And that's why we need to, every single day, open the scriptures and read and memorize and talk about the Bible and share it with the family and whoever, you know, we may encounter. And that's what's going to give us mental health. I have titled my message, "The Biblical Mind and Its Maintenance." We have a mind, and that mind needs maintenance. And that maintenance has to be biblical. Okay? And I think that this is a very important topic. And I just want to share with you just a few verses in order to make an effort to help everyone, including myself, how to keep a sound mind in these days that we live for Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once more, we ask for your blessing and your guidance. I do ask that you help me and fill me with your spirit. I cannot do anything without you. And I just pray that I may talk about you the way that I should, and that every heart, every mind in this place may be blessed by you and your word, and that we may leave this place knowing more about you and just trusting more in you. In Jesus' name, amen. So when we are saved, there's many blessings that come into our life. And let me turn this thing on. Can you hear me now? Is it good, Brother Foot? Okay. Excuse me. Many things happen in salvation. It's just not salvation. There's a lot of things that goes on at that moment. And one of the things that happen at that very moment is that we receive the mind of Christ. And what that means is that now a new Christian, a born-again Christian, now has the ability or capacity to see things from God's point of view. You see, before, I could not understand what, you know, the Word of God meant and what was like being a Christian or go to church. To me, all Christians were crazy. That's the way that I saw it, okay? And whenever the man that used to be our pastor back in Puerto Rico, he passed away about 10 years ago already, huge blessing in our lives, he would go and visit me home and talk to me. And I would see him and I would say, here come this guy again with his Bible. And I would listen to him, but at the end when he left, it was always the same type of mind. To me, he was crazy. He was wasting his time. But when I got saved, that all changed. Because now, when I got saved, God gave me the same mind that the pastor had when he came to see me. And now I could understand. Now I realize I was crazy. I was the one that was crazy. He gave me his mind. So now I was able to see things from God's point of view in life, according to scriptures. So before I believed that I came from a monkey. But praise God that he convinced me that I came from Adam and Eve. That's it. Why? Because I read it in the Bible. And I believed it. Why? Because I had the mind of Christ. So the mind of Christ is something that we have to take care of, maintain in our lives. Because believe it or not, somebody may be a Christian, may be a born-again Christian, and struggle in his or her life because they're not living for God. And we have to keep ourselves from that. The person needs to be able to possess a sound mind in order to function in the system of the world. That's a normal person. But the Christian is supposed to surpass that soundness of mind because he possesses the mind of Christ. This is not just anything. The mind of Christ abides in us. And to me, that is a big, big thing. This world does not need psychologists, psychiatrists, social workers, or more programs that are ineffective and doesn't do any good to anybody. And that is plain truth. The only thing that I need in order to keep my mind sound is this book here. What this world needs is Christians with the mind of Christ to solve its problems. When we talk about a sound Christ-like mind, we refer to a thought process
in which it feeds from a godly wisdom which stems from the Word of God. The Bible offers a very simple way to maintain that mind. Simple. Anything that you're going to do for God is simple. Okay? He says it. He does those are the instructions. And we do it. That's it. I don't have to figure out anything. He already figured out everything. And let me know about it. And I just want to see briefly some texts in the book of Romans, chapter 1. If you please go with me to Romans chapter 1. And we're going to spend some time here. And I will try to be brief. I know it's cold. I know tomorrow is Monday. I know that some of you, including myself, are tired. But praise God that we're here tonight. So Romans chapter 1. And before I read, the question that I want to ask tonight and answer is the following. How does a Christian maintain a good, sound, biblical mind? And I believe that, I mean, there probably are many ways, but the main two that we're going to see on this text are just two, which I just said. There's two ways that we can keep our minds in the right place. And the first way is by glorifying God. Let's read Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now here it is. Because, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So the first thing that we have to practice in order to keep a sound mind is by glorifying God in our lives. The word glorify means the following. The word that we see here in Romans is the Greek word doxazo, and this word means glorify, honor, or magnify something. It is to cause dignity and worth of some person or thing to become manifest or acknowledged. In other words, if somebody did something, he has to take the credit. It is not right for you or for me to take the credit about something that we didn't do. In the case of God, he is the one that did all things. He is the one that has controls over our lives. He is the one that does everything for us. So he is the one that we have to give credit on a daily basis. And that is what it means to glorify God. When somebody says glory to God or praise God, what they're saying is God did it. It was God. Okay? So there's a few ways that we can glorify God. And the first one, which we see here in the text, that these people did not do, was that they did not glorify God as a creator, as their creator. Not a creator, but their creator. He is their creator. Okay? The Bible says that in the beginning God created. Now, on verse 1, it says over there that they knew God, they glorify him not. And if we keep on reading on the following verses, like for instance, verse 23 says that 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of God, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and to birds. So they basically took the glory of God away and gave it to other things, which was, instead of glorifying the creation, they started to glorify the created. And that is very, very dangerous grounds. So the world philosophy have always taken upon itself to discredit the word of God, and at the same time try to convince man that he is a product of an explosion that came from nothing. You see, it is very important to understand and believe that everything started with God. If we don't believe in creation, everything falls apart. We have to believe that he did everything. In the beginning, God created. When we step away from that belief, we are destined to go into idolatry at some point. That's what the Bible says. At least the process. There's always been efforts to even reconcile creation with evolution, even from religious fronts. Satan has always tried to convince man that God is not the creator of all things. And this type of reasoning is extremely dangerous, since it is and is a great obstacle to maintain a sound mind if we don't believe that God is the creator, giving him glory for that. Listen to this is an extract that I took from a document from a website from the Vatican. To me, it's really interesting, and it's not too long. It's just three paragraphs. But the following is an extract from a document titled "Address of His Holiness," which is the Pope at the time, Pius XII, to the cardinals, to the leaders of the foreign nations, and the members of the Pontifical Academy of Sciences. And this was delivered on November 22nd, 1951. And this religious organization said the following regarding to creation. It is undeniable, and I'm quoting, "It is undeniable that a mind illuminated and enriched by modern scientist knowledge," that's a scientist, "which serenely evaluates this problem, is inclined to break the circle of a completely independent and indigenous subject." I can't even fully understand what they're saying, but there's some points, some key points that I want to point. "Either because it is created or because it is created, uncreated, or because it is created by itself and can be traced back to a spirit creator." This is the Catholic leaders, and they're not even acknowledging that God, Jehovah, is the creator. Okay? "With the same clear and critical gaze with which he examines and judges the facts, he sees and recognizes," talking about the scientists, "the work of creative omnipotence, whose virtue, agitated by the powerful fiat pronounced billions of years ago," okay, "by the created spirit, unfolded in the universe, calling the exuberant matter of energy into existence with a generous gesture of love." It really seems that today's science, going back millions of centuries, has succeeded in becoming a witness of that primordial fiat lux, when from nothing broke a sea of light and radiation with matter. That is the Big Bang. While the particles of the chemical elements were separated and gathered in millions of galaxies. Okay, and then it says a little bit more down in the second paragraph, it is a question of creation over time. So basically what I'm trying to say is that this problem of trying to take God's glory away from him regarding creation is something that has always been going on. The Bible says that professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And when a Christian starts following these doctrines, these are
doctrines of demons, the Christian is in danger of becoming a person without any mental health, biblical mental health. One of the most important things in church is the doctrine. You need to be able to understand what the Bible says, to have knowledge of the Bible teachings, and put them into practice. It is not how man says. It is not how demon says. It's how God says. And for that, we need to sit down and read and learn what the Bible teaches. That's why it's so important to come to church and listen to the preacher and listen to messages in good places at home. There's a lot of places that you can receive good biblical messages. Not everything is good, but there's some good stuff out there. You need to feed yourself. I need to feed myself in order to keep a good, sound mind for the Lord. The great mental health crisis in the United States is basically idolatry. And idolatry can come in any given form. It's not just praising statues or whatever. Okay? It can manifest in many different forms. Whatever is first in your life, that's your God. I mean, if God is supposed to be number one in my life, and everybody's going to be under God's authority in their lives, either you recognize it or not, you're under God's authority. That's plain and simple. And if I know that He's supposed to be first, number one in my life, and He's not, then there's another thing that is going to be my God. That can be my job. That can be my family, my car, other religion. And that's very dangerous. That type of situation drives people crazy. We need to understand what the Bible says about these things. I am talking about keeping a biblical sound mind, and for that, we need to understand that God is the Creator, and He is the one that made all things. Let's hear some statistics, okay? Statistics. Again, to me, this is very interesting. This is some information that I found from a place called the Pew Research Center that did a survey pretty recently, 2018 and 2019. It says 55% of American adults describes themselves as Christians when asked about their religion, down 12 percent points over the past decade. There's less and less people professing that they believe in God. Okay. Meanwhile, the religiously unaffiliated share of the population consisting of people who describe their religious identity as atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular now stands at 26%, up 17% from 2009. That is a lot of people. Okay? That is a lot of people. Both Protestantism and Catholicism are experiencing losses of population share. Currently, 43% of U.S. adults identify with Protestantism, down from 51% in 2009. And one of five adults, which 20% are Catholics, are down 23% in 2009. This one is very interesting. Self-described atheists now account for 4% of U.S. adults, up modestly but significantly from 2% in 2009. So the people that is not, we're seeing decrease in Bible believers and increase in non-Bible believers. Why? Because they're not glorifying God. They're not understanding that God is number one, and He's the Creator, and He's the one that gave them the day and the health and the lives that they're living. And that's causing a lot of trouble. And I have some statistics for the end of the message that talks about how much people are suffering from mental health issues in the United States. Now, how did this whole tragedy start? Romans 1, 22 and 23 says, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." It says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. This idolatrous attitude towards God erupted in the manifestation of corruption according to Romans 1, 26 and 28. Because if you don't glorify God, and I'm going to go a little bit into detail in a few minutes, but if you don't glorify God, then you start being ungrateful. And then when you're ungrateful, then you fall into immorality. That's how it works. Romans 26 and 28. 26, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. Okay? By this point, everybody has stopped praising God, and everybody has stopped being thankful to God, and it's just everybody's doing whatever they want. Verse 28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." So that word reprobate is the word adokimos. And this word means cast away, rejected, on a proof. The Bible uses this way in the following way: "That which does not prove itself, such as is ought." In other words, you're supposed to be doing something and you're not doing it. And I'm telling you that you have to do it this way, and you keep on doing it another way that I just told you not to do it, and that is going to get you into a reprobate mind. And when that happens, then God says, "You know what? You want to have a reprobate mind? Then go ahead and do whatever you want. You're going to eat from your own fruit." What happens when someone has a reprobate mind? The word that we see here is the word paradidomai. When the verse 28 says that gave them over to a reprobate mind, that phrase "gave them over," what it means is that he paradidomai, he just handed over sinners into the reprobate mind. So let's just try to imagine that we can represent a personification of a reprobate mind, right? There's a person there. That's reprobate mind. It's almost like a demon. And God is trying to deal with man, and man is not obeying God and doing whatever they please themselves. Then God says, "Okay, you don't want to listen to me? Go ahead, and I'm going to go ahead and hand you over to this guy that he's going to destroy you. He's going to mess your life." And we have to be careful with that. We have to avoid that type of situation. It worries me when Christians, and again I say, just because we are Christians, it doesn't mean that we will not fall into that situation. Each and every one of us has the capacity, the sinful capacity, to become like that. We're not going to lose our salvation, what we're going to lose is our communion with God. Doesn't the Bible says that don't quench the Spirit? That means that we have the capacity to quench it. Okay? So we need to keep ourselves away from that. Now praise God that He's wonderful and merciful and He's good, and He gives us every single day the opportunity just to make things right and light up that fire again and become filled with the Spirit and live for God. But a lot of times it's hard. It's difficult. For somebody that is in the reprobated mind hands to get out of that situation. Doesn't the Bible say that when the demon was out, came out from that man and he went and didn't find someplace else and came back and came with five or six more demons? And his state was worse than the prior one. So, we need to keep ourselves in a position that we have a good standing with God in terms with what we do with our minds, what we believe, what we think. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5, the same word to hand over, paradidomai, is the word that the Apostle Paul used when he was referring to that man that was in sin in church. 1 Corinthians 5:5 says, to deliver such as and one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be safe in the day of the Lord Jesus. So, dear Christian, if you want to avoid a reprobate mind, we all need to give glory to God. He is the creator. He is the one that did all things. We need to do that. Another way that we can give glory to God is acknowledge that He is all powerful. Revelations 1:8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is come, the Almighty. He has all power to do whatever He wants to do. There's nothing too big for God. There's not a single person in here that has a problem bigger than God. We may think that, but that's not the truth. The truth is that He is bigger than anything. When David went in front of Goliath, what happened? Everybody was scared, including the king, right? Saul was backsliding. That's how you say it. Everybody was scared. And what David did? You come to me with sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, with the power of God. And we all know what happened to the giant. What happened with David? David gave glory to God. David praised God. David was grateful to God, and God gave him the victory. We need to acknowledge also that He is our provider. Everything that we have is because He gave it to us. Don't go out thinking that because your hard work or my hard work, we were able to get whatever we have. Praise God for hard work. Praise God that we can do stuff and we can go out and we can work and make a living and get things and buy things. And buy the things that we need and a lot of times that we want. Because there's a difference in between things that we need and we want. All right? I like things that I want. But usually I get things of what I need. But God was the one that made all that possible. And we need to acknowledge that as Christians. Give glory to God. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need. It doesn't say some. It says all. And you know what all means? It's mean all.
All. Todo in Spanish. Todo. That's all. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How else we can acknowledge and give glory to God? That he is our helper. Hebrews 13:6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I would not fear what man shall do unto me. You know what boldly means? It means that with all assurance, we can say, he is my helper. Aren't you glad that Jesus is with you every day? I am glad. If it wasn't for Jesus, I don't know where I would be right now. And the troubles that I have gotten into in my Christian life, and he has delivered me. We have to praise God and we have to give glory to God. This is how we glorify God. And as a result, we will have a biblical sound mind. We must flee from idolatry. Idolatry corrupts the soul and moves the person away from God and into demons' hands. Psalm 146:1 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. So how do we keep and maintain our minds in a biblical sound way? Glorifying God. There was a man called the demonic gathering. I don't like to call him like that. I do like to call him the gathering that was demonic. There's a big difference. He's not demonic. He's not demon possessed for centuries already. But people keep talking about him like he was possessed yet. No. He stopped being possessed the minute that he had his personal encounter with Jesus. And Jesus cast away those demons, and the Bible teaches that when everybody from town came, he was sitting and he was he had clothes, and his mind was sound. Before it was completely opposite. He was naked and screaming and crazy, okay? But now his whole demeanor, his whole personality had changed. Why? Because he had an encounter with Jesus. And what he started to do? He started praising God. Jesus told him, just go to your family, go home, and just tell everybody the great and mighty things that God has done with you. And this is what the Bible says in Mark 5:20. And he, talking about the gathering, he departed and began to publish. That word publish means to preach, to proclaim. In the capitalist, how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Started praising Jesus, giving glory to Jesus. And that's an experience that anybody that is born again, we all share, right, when we were born again. But you know what? We have to keep doing that every day in our Christian lives. So, when we glorify God, he will keep our thoughts in place. We will enjoy clarity of thought, and we'll experience a peace which surpasses all understanding. To ignore this practice, glorifying God, if we ignore that, opens the door to mental depression and anxiety. This is a very dangerous place to be. The second way, and I'm going to be brief, the second way that we can keep ourselves in a good place with our minds is to be thankful. We read it on the text, that they did not give thanks to the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks,
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And to me, it's really interesting that God commands the Christian to be thankful. It is not a suggestion. It is a command. Why? Because He knows what is best for us. He knows that if we are not thankful, our souls are going to get corrupted. That's why He says it. And one place after another in the Bible, thankfulness is a huge subject that we need to pay attention to. In Colossians 3:15 says, be ye thankful. This is another commandment in another book. That is a commandment from God, and it's for our own benefit. Looking again at Romans 1:21, it says, they glorify Him not as God, neither were thankful. Ungratefulness is a sign of corruption of the soul. It is a bad habit and stinks, just like when a smoker smokes cigarettes. Sometimes I have to go to court and I get into I go to court to work. I'm not in any trouble. I get into the elevator and somebody had just smoked and it's horrible. Okay? And it's the same thing when somebody is ungrateful. One of the things that I always really like about my kids is that they have always been grateful. I took the time to explain to them that we need to be thankful. And this is a process of years. And today, I can say that they're thankful people. Praise God. And because of that, things are better for them. We need to teach our kids to be thankful. Even if you don't like what you're doing, give thanks. Because it's the only thing that we have. I don't like it either, but let's just be thankful that we have that we don't like. Because at least it's something. And when God sees an attitude like that, that's later on when He starts providing and multiplying things for His people. The Christian must avoid ungratefulness in order to escape immorality. What we see in Romans chapter 1 is idolatry plus ungratefulness equals immorality. How can we keep a sound mind? Thanksgiving. Psalm 26:7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all thy wondrous works. Psalm 30, verse 4, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks and the remembrance of His holiness. So we have to thank God for His works. We have to thank God for His holiness also. I am glad that God is holy and that He shares that holiness with me. And that He asks me and teaches me the need to be holy like Him. Be ye holy, says. And I know that a lot of times we don't act like it, but we need to make an effort and live like that. Psalm 30:12, to the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. I have more verses, but I'm not going to read them. But thankfulness is a decision that we have to make on a daily basis. So how can we be thankful? Well, just be thankful. That's it. As simple as that. How else? Give thanks in everything. Just like the Bible says. It is better to see the cup half filled than to see it half empty. That whole attitude right there will make a difference in life. Because when you see it half filled, You're going to be happy. If you see it half empty, you're going to be sad. Listen, that's the way it works. It's biblical psychology. Determine yourself to think and react positively in any situation. And make thankfulness a part of your daily life. Talk about it, think about it, teach about it. Something happens to the heart when we have a thankful attitude. And in conclusion, when the Christian lives in a thanksgiving mode, his mental health will be strong. Emotions and reactions will take a whole new direction in your life, and you glorify God with a thankful attitude. And this will keep us from a mind that has trouble, and will just be with clarity of thought and be at peace and be able to function on our daily lives to be able to give a good testimony to others. I'm not going to be able to give a good testimony to others for Christ if my life is a mess. All of us here, we're not perfect. We all have our things, our issues, our battles. Okay? But we all can live according to Scripture if we decide to do so. The good mental health starts and maintains itself with God. No benefit will come if we are away from God. We have the mind of Christ, and we need to avoid the equation for depression and take hold of the equation for mental health. I want to read this to finish. Philippians 4:8. How do we keep a good, sound, biblical mind? We need to glorify God, and we need to be thankful. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think of these things. You know what God is saying? Think in a biblical way. That's a good verse to memorize. I know it in Spanish, not in English. Dear Christian, if you have been struggling with some things in your life, it's time to come here to the altar tonight. Just come to God, glorify God, give thanks, and whatever you're dealing with, throw it at the Lord's feet. And He will do something good in your life. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you once more for the opportunity of being here tonight and just listening to your word and the simple things that your word teaches. We pray for your power in our lives. We all need you. We all need to think in a biblical way. We all need to concentrate our lives in what you say. I pray, Lord, that in the following minutes, as we sing an invitation hymn, that the Holy Spirit just deals and convince with everyone's hearts here. And whatever decision anybody must do, that it be done tonight. Help us to understand that the only thing that you want for us is just goodness, your blessing. in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand and turn to 694. 694.